Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Monday morning, everyone. Tensions today generated by a widening conflict between Israel and Palestinian militants sent crude oil prices up sharply briefly to above $40 a barrel, with gasoline and heating oil also making sizable gains. Prices also were supported by indications that key OPEC members were acting on commitments to cut back production, in line with a decision earlier this month to take a daily 2.2 million barrels off the market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 85.21. It's up 6.29. The NASDAQ at 1527 is down 3.20, and the S&P 500 is at 872, and it's off almost one half of 1 point. Joining us now with a look at the day's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. Well, in Argentina, weekend weather occurred as expected. It's always good when that happens. Scattered showers and thunderstorms occurred in about 35% of Argentina during the weekend, with rainfall varying a few hundredths of an inch to a half inch in most often. The greatest was happening in Cordoba City with up to 85 hundredths of an inch. Cordoba, northeastern La Pampa, and northwestern Buenos Aires had the best soil moisture Sunday, while most other areas were drier than usual and needed some significant rain to support long-term crop development. Argentina's only significant rain event over the next week or so is slated for late Tuesday into Thursday. During that time period, 70% of the nation's crop region may get some rain, but the most significant amounts may be restricted to a few Cordoba and neighboring Santa Fe locations and in a few Buenos Aires locations. Most of the areas may get some shower activity, but will likely not be great enough to counter this week's evaporation rates. Overall, about two-thirds of Argentina will likely remain too dry during the next coming 10 days, with Cordoba and immediate neighboring areas expected to be in the best shape. Next week, temperatures aren't all that good either. Expect to be warmer than usual, with highs in the upper 80s and 90s, which will put higher evaporation rates in that part of the nation. Brazil, no meaningful rain fell from Paraná and western Mato Grosso do Sul, southward through Paraguay and Paraná to Rio Grande do Sul Friday through Sunday. The precipitation pattern for the weekend was a little drier than expected in the far south and a little wetter in the center south. High temperatures in the region were in the 80s and lower 90s, with a few warmer readings near Paraguay and Argentina border. Net drying resulted with increasing crop moisture stress in the driest areas from far northern and few western Rio Grande do Sul locations, northward into Paraná, southeastern Paraguay, and extreme southern Mato Grosso do Sul. The biggest change in the forecast noted since Friday was a reduction of significant rain once advertised for far southern Brazil. The region is no longer expected a generalized rain event, with some far southern parts of the nation, mostly Rio Grande do Sul, staying drier than usual along with Paraguay. Today's forecast continues to downplay rainfall in far southern Brazil, but some rain is still expected. Showers will occur erratically through the end of this week. The result of rainfall is not expected to be very great, with some western and southern Rio Grande do Sul locations failing to receive significant rain, leaving the region in significant drying trend. Soil moisture in the other parts of the nation will be plentiful, resulting in favorable crop development. In the U.S. Midwest, no major changes to the general theme of weather as advertised for this coming week. We'll have a very fast west-east flow across the country, which provides some light precipitation events from the northern plains in the Midwest, but there'll be no major storm system, at least till early next week, and no bitter cold is expected. However, precipitation will occur Monday and Tuesday, with some of it lingering to Wednesday morning in the eastern Midwest. Moisture totals will add up to about a half inch in the far northern parts of the Midwest and less than a tenth of an inch in the south. Many southern areas will be dry. A second storm system will occur Thursday into Saturday, with larger amounts of precipitation resulting in the eastern and some lower Midwest location. Moisture totals will be anywhere from a quarter inch to 8/10 of an inch, with a few greater amounts up to 3/10 of an inch elsewhere. Erratic light precipitation anticipated late in the coming weekend and Monday, and a change toward much colder weather is likely next week, and the temperature change should induce the next major winter storm. Rain and snow precede much colder temperatures the January 6th or the 8th time frame, and the cold snap should persist for a while below average temperatures likely through at least the middle part of January. That's what we've been saying all morning, that during the second week of January, we'll have some much colder temperatures come in the Midwest with a good chance of seeing some snowfall as well. Lowest temperatures were below zero in North Dakota and northwest of Minnesota, and northeastern South Dakota in the single digits and the teens from Nebraska and Kansas to Wisconsin, and the remainder of Minnesota in the teens and 20s, most other areas. Some severe thunderstorms produced damaging hail and a few tornadoes reported Friday into Saturday. Many reports of damage from strong thunderstorms were received from eastern Kansas and Missouri to Illinois. But this week looks to be a lot quieter. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Oltoff.
You are just a phone call away from receiving daily analysis and prices from our analyst market portal. Call 217-333-3434 to get the opening and closing prices and analysis from our AM580 commodity market experts. We update the feed twice a day at 10:15 a.m. and 3:15 p.m., those times central, giving you a chance to stay in touch with the markets when you are away from your radio or your computer. Get on the map. The number to call from any phone is 217-333-3434. Let's check how prices fared in the Sunday overnight trade in Kansas City. March wheat opened at 6:15, down 1 1/4. Last trade up 16 1/4. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 5.99 1/4 unchanged. Last trade up 16 1/2. May 6.18 1/2 up 6 3/4. Last trade up 15 1/4. July 6.26 up 3. Last trade up 15. March corn opened at 4.13 3/4, up 1 1/2. Last trade up 8 1/2. May 4.22 3/4, up 1/4. Last trade up 8 1/2. July 4.32 1/2, unchanged. Last trade up 9 1/4. December 4.58 1/4, up 1 3/4. Last trade up 8 3/4. January beans open at 9.54, up 2 1/4. Last trade up 23 3/4. March 9.60 1/2, up 4. Last trade up 23 3/4. July 9.82, up 4 1/4. Last trade up 20 1/4. January soybean meal opened at 298.90, up 120. Last trade up 580. January soybean oil opened at 32.82, unchanged. Last trade up 74. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Charts have done some very nice things if you're a bull from a technical standpoint. Do we believe in the technical rally we're seeing?
Well, I think you have to some extent. This market had gotten a little overdone to the downside, and much like we did on the upside, we overdo it, and I think we did that. You've got some overhead resistance coming in here, not far from where we're at. You take March corn up to that 450 level, and we're going to start to run into some fairly significant resistance that I think will be at least a little tough to get through. Beans, on the other hand, though, have traded to their highest level. Since going back to early days in November, they had a spike up there, but as you approach this $10 mark, I think that if you can get through that, you've broken some pretty good resistance areas, and they've got some fundamental backup to make the run that they're making. For one thing, this dryness in South America continues. There's a little bit of a mix on whether you believe they're going to see rain this week. Our lead forecaster indicates they don't see much rain this week, so we may end up continuing to see these beans get fired up a little bit here. And then I think that we're probably going to see some fairly decent buying in here from the Chinese ahead of their New Year's, and that'll be mildly supportive. Of course, today you've got the outside markets helping to support us a little bit along the way, too, with crude oil, although it slipped quite a bit from its highs, about $2 off its highs. You still have got higher markets there. The dollar's under significant pressure, down 865 points. So you're starting to build a case for this thing to be able to turn. It's been an impressive rally so far. We're very overbought, but I think you'll continue it a little bit further again today, Dave.
So where do beans go? Do you like beans at 1062, which is an area where, I mean, if you look at the charts, there's not a lot of resistance heading up there.
Your 100-day moving average is going to come in around 1029, and that was really kind of that 10 and a quarter area was kind of where I thought we might run into our first turn to dip back. But I think that we're going to push higher yet. I just think the door's open for problems down in South America.
So are you making sales at this level, or are you going to hold off a little longer?
I'll probably wait for the chart to tell me it's time to sell, Dave. I'm not in a real rush to sell beans right here, but whenever we get a turn in the chart, I'm probably going to get the balance of my old crop sold and get at least a good start on my new crop beans and try and get some of those on the books. I still worry about our overall economy and where it takes us down the road.
Still a little ways from that 450 high you mentioned in the corn, however.
That's correct. But I think there's an outside chance the beans will pull it up there because at some point people are going to start worrying that we are going to see the kind of shift in acres that Informa was talking about where you increase bean acres significantly and actually pull corn acres back, and that begins to tighten up the S&Ds for corn.
All right, then let's go ahead and get your calls for the opening bell.
I'm going to say that we're not going to be quite as firm as we were overnight, mainly because crude oil's backed off. I'm going to think more like 5 to 7 in corn. I think you'll be 15 to 20 higher in beans, and I'm thinking wheat's going to be in that 10 to 15 areas where we start off and have a solid move to the upside, but I don't know it'll be quite as strong as it was in the overnight.
And over on the livestock side?
I think the hogs are trying to put a base in down here, and I think they'll get turned around this week, and we'll see a decent week out of the hogs. Cattle market looks a little toppy to me, though. I think it could actually go the opposite way, and we could see it back off. So I'm going to go with a little bit higher corn or hog markets here this morning. The cattle market, I think, feels a little bit lower.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks.
Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.